as we start the season with the Nefesh HaChaim from Chaim Volozhin, first of all, we'd like to give Yashar Koyach to Tuv Salzburg and Rebbe Glazer for donating the Nefesh HaChaims from Chaim Volozhin. Let me just point out that in the Olam HaTorah and the Olam HaYeshivas, the Nefesh HaChaim from Chaim Volozhin is considered to be one of the most classical Sforim, a sefer which is geared to Avodas Hashem and teaching an individual of how one rises in every area and aspects of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we'll see, that it encompasses so many different aspects. It has been said that one cannot really be a true Ben Torah without studying many of the concepts which is being taught by Reb Chaim Volozhin, to be a Ben Torah and to be a Ben Aliyah. Let us just mention that Volozhin is in Belarus, and it's sort of like between Vilna and Minsk. Vilna would be on the east of Volozhin, and Minsk would be, it would be the west of Volozhin, and Minsk would be on the east of Volozhin. Not very far from Rodin either. Reb Chaim Volozhin is known because of the city of Volozhin as Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He was actually born in Volozhin in 1749. Well, Lamaisa, his father, who was also a Choshev Tam Chochom, was a prominent leader. He was community leader in Volozhin, Reb Chaim's father. At that particular time, it was quite a distressful time for the Jewish people, due to the fact that many of the Jews of Eastern Europe were still feeling the effects of the various disasters, both of the Khmelnytsky pogroms, which killed out and massacred many, many of the Jews in Poland, and also the, let's call it, the debacle of the false Mashiach against Shabbosai Tzvi at that particular time. So Yidden were basically, they were bewildered, they were disheartened, and the prevailing atmosphere was an ignorance really in Torah, and a sharp decline certainly in the scholarship of Torah. It came along, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, as mentioned, was born in 1749, and actually he was a shining light in that dark period. Basically, Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a number of rabbeim, which some of them are not as known, that he was the Talmud of them. One of them was Raphael Hamburger. Raphael Hamburger was a Rav in Hamburg, one of the great Gadol Yisrael. His name was Raphael HaKoyen, actually. And Raphael Koyen was the Mechaber also of a Sefer called Toiris Yekusiel. He was a great Tanoi, a great Gadol, a Goyen B'Toira, and he was one of the great loichmim against Moshe Mendelssohn at the time, feeling already the seeds being planted of the reform movement and so on. So Reb Raphael of Hamburg was known as a big kanoi in that area. Also, he was the Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Shagis Aryeh. Shagis Aryeh's name was Reb Aryeh Leib Ginsberg, also not very well known. Shagis Aryeh, the Sefer, is known by the Sefer. His name was Reb Aryeh Leib Ginsberg. So Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud also of the Shagis Aryeh. But his Rebbe, who had the most profound influence on the life of Reb Chaim Volozhin, on his character and his outlook, was of course the legendary, the Vilna Goyen, was the Goyen himself. The Goyen was the primary Rebbe of Reb Chaim Volozhin. It is not a guzma to say that the Vilna Goyen was considered to be probably the greatest scholar in the past centuries. And he was considered by many, even though he was in the time of late Achreinim, so to speak. But the Gavlus B'Toyer of the Goyen ranked way up there, that to many he was compared like a Rishon, although the Goyen himself, when he once heard it said, being compared to the Rishon, as a Rishon, but once he said a Loshon, he says, Ulai Kiramban. He said it's a Loshon like that. He said, Ulai Kiramban. No, okay, not so bad. So Kaponim, this was the Goyen of Vilna. So the Goyen of Vilna, of course, was known with his prodigious wisdom, tremendous wisdom in the Tzitzkes, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner absorbed to a tremendous extent the teachings of the Goyim, and not only the teachings of the Goyim, but also emulated his ways in his tzitkis and so on and so forth. And it was basically for about 20 years that he was a Talmud. He was about a Talmud of the Goyim. Reb Chaim Lunoj was a Talmud of the Vilna Goyim for about 20 years. Faithful and devoted Talmud. A Talmud Vumuvik, which means a foremost Talmud. Interesting thing is that it was on the recommendation of Rav Rafael HaKoyin, Rafael Hamburger, that Reb Chaim was chosen to be the Rav of Elojin. So he's chosen to be the Rav of Elojin. And the fact is that Reb Chaim emerges to become a leading Torah authority in Lithuania and Russian Jewry. And again, it's quite fair to say that after the Petir of the Goyim, in 1797, that's when the Goyim was Nifter, the Vilna Goyim, that Reb Chaim was universally actually recognized as the successor of his great Rebbe of the Vilna Goyim. But probably the greatest contribution that one can say to Klal Yisrael was the restoration, right, with the restoration that Reb Chaim was succeeded in doing, is to revitalize the state of Torah scholarship, as it were, in that particular time of Torah learning. And therefore, it's in 1802 that Reb Chaim goes about to founding the Yeshiva of Elojin, and this was an achievement of historic proportions. It's not just making another yeshiva. Elojin is known to be the Eim HaYeshivas, the mother yeshiva. It's the mother yeshiva of all of the yeshivas. It started out basically with 10 Talmidim, and yeshiva flourished and attracted a large number of Talmidei Chachamim that came from far and wide. And Elojin, the Kehillah, the Jews, the entire region, also welcomed and they supported the yeshiva, holding it to a high esteem and regarding the Talmidim to be that these are the elite, as it were, of Klal Yisrael. This idea, the method of learning, was instituted in Elojin, that Reb Chaim instituted, was the methodology of how the Vilna Goyim learned. The Goyim learned, which was penetrating analysis of Gemara and Chazal. Probably the best way to explain it is intellectual honesty, which means clear havonah. Clear havonah, very clearly with proper methodology. And it is basically based on the teachings of Elojin, that all of the great yeshivas subsequently emerged the Shinde Yatanei, when all of the Lithuanian yeshivas were the successor to that. We call it Telz, call it Mir by any name, call it the Tervadas, call it Ponovich, call it Brisk, whatever it is. These are all Talmidei Talmidim, whose Rabbeim and their Rabbeim are all, which are the product of starting out of the yeshivas from Reb Chaim Elojin. Reb Chaim Elojin had a great son as well, who by the way wrote the Hakdomah to the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which from time to time we will be mentioning some of the aspects, just in the Hakdomah alone. Reb Itzel Elojiner, there was Reb Yitzchak of Elojin. Reb Yitzchak of Elojiner, later on, the son-in-law of Reb Yitzchak Elojiner, was the Nativ. He had another son-in-law also, but later Yitzchak Fried. The Nativ is very well known, who ultimately became, later of course, the leader of the Yeshiva in Elojin, the Nativ of Elojin. And finally, later on, it was after the Nativ, it becomes Reb Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, which is the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi takes over the Yeshiva in Elojin, and he served as Rosh Yeshiva basically in 1865. Actually, they were both together. It was the Nativ and it was Reb Yosef Doiv. And in 1865, Reb Yosef Doiv, the Beis Halevi, he goes and he becomes the Rav of Slutsk. He leaves the Yeshiva of Elojin, and so on, and ultimately becomes the Rav of Brisk, and his son Reb Chaim becomes the Rosh Yeshiva in Elojin. That's Reb Chaim Brisk, the famous Reb Chaim Brisk, of course. And so this again is the legacy of Reb Chaim Elojiner as being the tremendous founder of the yeshiva system, the yeshiva movement, as we have all of the great yeshiva study institutions that we have today. These are all products, or you can call them descendants of the mother yeshiva. Elojin is known as the Eim HaYeshivas, which is the mother yeshivas of all the yeshivas. Unfortunately, due to that Tsarist, which was in 1892, Ben Tziv decided, because of the various harassment that was by the Russian government and so on and so forth, in 1892, rather than bow to the government, which wanted to introduce secular studies and so on and so forth, he made a decision to close the yeshiva, which was a very tragic period. But nevertheless, the seeds that were planted by the Elojin yeshiva, this is something that bore a lot of fruit in all of the future numerous yeshivas that proceeded as a result of the yeshiva in Volozhin. So it's nothing else, just the yeshiva of Volozhin alone. However, it's not just Reb Chaim Volozhin, known as Reb Chaim Volozhin, the founder of the Volozhin yeshiva. It is the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which stands out as a tremendous scholarship, tremendous amkus in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, the godless in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, among the various topics that is discussed in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, as pointed out also in the letter of one of today's very choshev Talmid Chachamim, Shneir HaZoken, very well respected in Musa in many areas in Torah, which is Shlomo Weintraub, which writes that in the Loshen of Reb Chaim Volozhin, it was written with such a Loshen that it can be understood each and every person on his own level, which means a gadol of high proportions finds tremendous satisfaction learning Nefesh HaChaim and seeing insights which satisfies him, and then a simple person, or not a beinoni, or even whatever, at any level, when is able to find meaning in the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin, to be able to satisfy and to be able to gain and to take out from Volozhin of the Nefesh HaChaim. So basically, we start, as we're going to see soon, in Nefesh HaChaim, where he starts out with basic, which is hashkofa that a yid has to know in order to be a yid and Oved Hashem. And as we'll soon see, that basically it begins with a discussion of the meaning of what Tzelem Elokim means, which is also something not so unknown to us, because we already had quite a number of discussions of what Tzelem Elokim means, both in the time of the Vayre, as well as we had also in Ramchal and the Mesilas Yesharim. In various Mefarshim already was discussed what the meaning is, man was created with Tzelem Elokim, which is going to be the first item that Reb Chaim Volozhin Nefesh HaChaim addresses himself to that. And basically, since a man was created in the image of Hashem, was created with Tzelem Elokim, therefore he says each of a person's acts, whether they are good acts or bad, whether they are good or whether they are evil, Reb Chaim Volozhin points out that man, being that he's created in the image of Hashem, everything that man does has corresponding effects on the higher spiritual worlds, on the Olam HaZeh Yonim. Man does not have an idea, does not understand the tremendous, far-reaching impact whatever man does has in the higher worlds up above. Every act that a man does, whether good or bad, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, impacts and has corresponding effect on the upper worlds. And therefore, it means that whatever a person does really has cosmic significance. Actually, it changes. It changes the world, sometimes for the better and sometimes for worse. And this is an electrifying idea, and certainly it's a frightening idea, when man really realizes the tremendous koiches and the tremendous impact that every deed that a person does. And by the way, it's not just the deed. Reb Chaim says many times, and he points out these three things, he always lumps them together. It's a maise and it's dibur machshava. It's the act that a person does, the deed that a person does, is the dibur, what a person speaks, how he uses his mouth. And certainly we know what the idea of Shemiras HaLoshen is all about. But then it extends also to machshav as well. Even the ideas, the thoughts that prevail in a person's mind. Maise, dibur, machshav, all of these things have tremendous effects also at the world at large and in the upper world. And Chaim's Loshen, maybe to quote his Loshen, he says that the destiny, says Reb Chaim, of the countless higher and lower worlds is determined by man's actions. Again, it's a tremendous idea to behold. Man has such tremendous powers and influences so far above. Another thing that Reb Chaim, basically the next Reb Chaim that he goes through is discussing, is many items and themes. A number of them are the idea of Limud HaTorah, what Limud HaTorah means, the role of Limud HaTorah in the world. Reb Chaim discusses the idea, the chashivas of tefillah, what davening means all about, what brachas means. Reb Chaim discusses Nefesh HaChaim, discusses the neshama of a yid, or the significance of a neshama. Reb Chaim discusses Olam Haba. Reb Chaim discusses whether a person should combine Torah study with earning a livelihood. He discusses the questions after that also. There are differences of opinion, that whole idea. And furthermore, Reb Chaim also discusses whether or not man is greater or angels or malochim are greater. There's another discussion, just to name a few of the ideas. Just to point out that an inspiring chapter that Reb Chaim has regarding tefillah, he says that davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper time, he says, it's not just a mitzvah or something nice to do or something good to do, but he says it's an essential food for the neshama and for the upper worlds. In the same way that in the physical life, a person cannot live without food, without feeding the body, the neshama also needs food, spiritual food. And also the existence of the upper worlds, in order to exist, they also need spiritual food. They have to be fed. Spiritual food. What is that spiritual food? Reb Chaim says, in Nefesh HaChaim says, that is tefillah. Tefillah is a necessary spiritual food for the neshama, to sustain the neshama, as well as he says, for the upper worlds. He points out from the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that food is tefillah. And it takes the place of the karbonis that used to be the Zman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. Today we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But tefillah, in fact, is B'mokem Avoida. And it takes the place of the karbonis that existed the Zman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. Chaim also, in Nefesh HaChaim, which he devotes the overriding significance and importance of Torah Lishma. Not just learning Torah. Reb Chaim discusses about the chashivas of Torah Lishma, meaning learning Torah clearly for the sake of Torah, for the sake of learning Hashem's Torah, and he repeatedly emphasizes, many, many Mekorim, Mr. Reb Chaim emphasizes, that the existence of the entire world depends on the uninterrupted study of Torah B'Klal Yisrael, which means that there has to be some place in the world where Torah is studied. If it's nighttime over here, then it's morning over there. So if it's nighttime over here, maybe Torah is not studied all that much. Torah has to be studied someplace. As we'll soon see, that Reb Chaim has not been instituted learning around the clock in the Lojan to make sure that there should not be any vacant spot, should not be any vacant moment, any moment that is void without limit HaTorah, because the Kiyum HaOlam, the very existence of the world, is totally dependent on limit HaTorah. Not only this world, but it says also all of the Olam Yisrael Yoinim, says Reb Chaim, would instantly revert to nothingness. It would not be limud ha-Torah, Torah learning somewhere. So Mamela, he points out that learning Torah is fulfilling Hashem's purpose in creating the world. It lightens up all of the world. Torah is the Yor, Torah is the real illumination, there midst of the Torah Or, and says, and also fills the world, he says, with spiritual joy. The true simcha that is being injected into the world is in fact through the Koyach of Torah. And he says, only when the Yid is learning Torah is the Yid truly alive. Without limit HaTorah, really, a Yid is not spiritually alive. This is all part of the role of limit HaTorah in Jewish life. And again, this is something that Reb Chaim very much emphasizes. And just to point out, finally, Reb Chaim says, Eitz Chaim hi l'machzikim bo. The Torah is compared, it says, to a tree of life, to those who grasp her. And Reb Chaim says, the way to understand that is in simple terms. In quite simple terms, he says, one should imagine if you were being swept away. You're being swept away, he says, in a surging river, and you are in danger of drowning. And suddenly, a person sees in front of him, you see a tree, you see a branch. One understands that grabbing hold of that branch is not a luxury, but grabbing hold of that branch, the achiz of that branch, actually determines whether he's going to live or drown. That is the idea. Eitz Chaim hi l'machzikim bo. That exactly is how a person should perceive the importance of the role of Torah in one's life. He has to grasp on, otherwise he'll be drowning, he says. He'll drown in the world of triviality. There's no way to be able to survive in this world, he says, of triviality without grabbing hold of that lifeline, grabbing hold of that branch of that tree that is extending and allowing you to take hold of it. So it's Eitz Chaim hi l'machzikim bo. This is the way one has to understand that. When a person is attached the Torah, he grasps hold the Torah, and by grasping the Torah, he's not only connected to the Torah, he's connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because Oyraiso, the Kitchibrich, he says Chadu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah, in fact, is one. Let me just say that Nefesh HaChaim is not the only sefer that Reb Chaim wrote, that in addition to that, he also, of course, as you know, the sefer Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Avos, which is also a classic sefer Ruach Chaim, Nefesh HaChaim, as we have here. The Sefer Ruach Chaim. Also, he wrote an introduction to the Vilna Goyen's Pirish on Sifra de Tzniusa. Tzniusa, of course, is one of the obscure parts of the Zohar. And Reb Chaim wrote a large number of tshuvas as well. Most, unfortunately, of the tshuvas lahaloche. Most of the tshuvas lahaloche were destroyed by a fire in Belozhin in 1815. Basically, 251 tshuvas survived and were published under the title of the Sefer. I have the Sefer also. It's called Chut Hashoni, which are tshuvas from Reb Chaim, from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Let me just mention another nekuda. If one takes a visit to the town of Vilna, of course the city of the Goyim, the Rebbe of Chaim Volozhin. We find out that in Vilna there was a famous person, although lived there for a short time. In Vilna they lived there for a short time, a young man which is known as the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. The Ger Tzedek of Vilna is known as the Righteous Ger. It's a fascinating inyan about the Ger Tzedek, which we will not be marach with him at all, but just to scratch the surface about the Ger Tzedek, the famous Ger Tzedek of Vilna. By the way, his story was so important, the story of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, that on the second day of Shavuos, which is the Yahrzeit, on the second day of Shavuos, which is the Yahrzeit of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, the Chofetz Chaim son-in-law, the Tzvi Hirsch Levinson, would recount every second day of Shavuos in great detail. He says, the Yeshiva of Radin, inspiring everyone with the Ger Tzedek's tremendous tzidkus and his commitment. What is the godless of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna? Unfortunately, what happened was in 1749 he was burned at the stake. The Ger Tzedek of Vilna was burned to death because he refused to renounce his commitment to Judaism, and he was destroyed by the influence, Catholic influence at the time. But there's a very interesting phenomenon. You know, the Gemara tells us in Sefer Yuma. But the Gemara says in Sefer Yuma that Lam Chesom at Beis on the posik Vizorach Hashemish Ubo Hashemish, which means to say that the sun rises and the sun sets. The Gemara says that it means is that Ein Hatzadik Niftrim in Oilom Achinivur Tzadik Amosoi. A tzadik does not leave this world until there's another tzadik. Sun sets, sun rises. A tzadik departs. A second tzadik is born. Today that the Ger Tzedek went to Shemayim, died, burned. That was the same day that Reb Chaim Volozhin was born. So Reb Chaim Volozhin was born on the day that the Ger Tzedek died. Ger Tzedek Shishama goes up to Shemayim. It's on that day that Reb Chaim Volozhin, in fact, is born. Just interesting as an aside, let me just tell you that shortly after the Ger Tzedek's death, the wood that was supplied to make the fire came from a neighboring town. That town was burned down. The town that supplied the wood to destroy, to kill the Ger Tzedek, that town was burned down. Also in Vilna, an extraordinary amount of fires raged out of control and was taken as a sign from Shemayim, was taken as a sign from Hashem's wrath against the town's people who allowed this burning to take place. Fact, opposite the site of the execution, there was a building that was stained black from the smoke and fumes of the burning. Opposite the site of the execution, a building that was stained from the smoke and the fumes of the burning. People tried repeatedly. They tried to paint the stain, but each time the blotch reappeared. Each time the blotch reappeared. And this too was taken as a sign of divine anger in a Shemayim, to remind the people of Vilna of the horrible crime that took place there. Finally, the entire building was demolished, so there was nothing really left of the building at all. It's just interesting to point out that for years the authorities did not allow even a monument. For years the authorities did not allow even a monument to be put up where the ashes of the Ger Tzedek was buried. However, a strange tree, everybody knows this, are a little bit familiar with this history, a strange tree grew over the place as if seemingly to protect the ashes, which was known as the tree of the Ger Tzedek, that grew out of the Mokim Kavura, where the ashes of the Ger Tzedek was. And there are many legends as to what happened to many people who tried to chop down that tree. One legend maintains that a person tried to chop down the tree, so the axe got loose from its handle and killed the potential chopper. Finally, about 1919, a tomb was placed over the ashes and people would come from all over to be mispalo at the cave of the Ger Tzedek. There's a whole maisa, the relationship that he had with the Goyen of Vilna himself. Matter of fact, it is said that the Goyen of Vilna said to the Ger Tzedek, I can reveal to you a certain shem of Pikabolot. If you utter that shem, he says, you'll be able to escape. And the Ger Tzedek of Vilna says, I will not make use of that shem. I'll take the opportunity to give my life to me, Mekadeshim Shemayim. Extreme tzitzis, and the serious nefesh of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. He was offered a way to save himself by using and uttering a shame by the Vilna Goyen, and refused, he says. I don't want to use that, he says. I'll take what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's faith is for me, and he's ready to give up his life to be Mekadosh and Shomayim. Just to point out that when the old cemetery in Vilna was destroyed and a new one was built, so the ashes were removed. The ashes of the Geit Tzedek were removed, together, as is known, with the remains of the Vilna Goyim. By the way, the removal of the remains of the Vilna Goyim, who was involved also with that, was Pikes of Elizabeth, the Vilna Rocha, many years ago, was also involved personally with the removal and changing the plot, the Goyim's Kever, from the old cemetery to the new place. So together with the remains of the Goyim, the ashes of the Geir Tzedek of Vilna were reburied in the new cemetery. And today, next to the Matseva of the Vilna Goyim, lie the ashes of the Geir Tzedek of Vilna to this day. I can just say that for close to 200 years after the Geir Tzedek was executed, people would come to be mispal at the gravesite until the Nazis, of course, came and destroyed Vilna. I just tell you just one thing that the Chofetz Chaim used to repeat in the name of the Geir Tzedek. Chofetz Chaim often quoted the Geir Tzedek's view on the nations of the world who didn't accept the Torah at Har Sinai. Which Baruch Hu went, as you know, and offered the Torah to many nations, whether it came to Yishmael, whether it came to Esav, and they refused to accept the Torah. So the Chofetz Chaim, the quote is very well known, the shame the Geir Tzedek. Geir Tzedek used to say as follows. He says, the truth is that even among the nations, he says, there were some who did want to accept the Torah. There were some of the Goyim who didn't want to accept the Torah. Their descendants became Geirim in later generations. And the Geir Tzedek said, listen what he said. On the other hand, he said, even among the Jews, there were some who did not want to accept the Torah. Their descendants became heretics and abandoned Judaism as well. It's a phenomenal idea presented by the Geir Tzedek, which the Chofetz Chaim used to mention. So again, as we see here, Rabbi Isai, this is the Geir Tzedek of Vilna, and it was on that day that, in fact, the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner is born. Zorach HaShemesh, right? Uba HaShemesh. So we take a look at Rabbi Isai here as we begin. the Nefesh HaChayim. Let's take a look. Which is Shar Aleph, and this is Perik Aleph. So Rabbi Chaim begins. Rabbi Chaim says, Ksiv. It says in Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. The Pesuk says, Vayivro Elokim Yesodom B'Tzalmoi. Hashem creates man in his image, as it were. B'Tzalem Elokim Boro Isoi. Man was created in the image of Hashem. This is repeated. Another Pesuk says, Rabbi Chaim, V'chein Ksiv. There's another Pesuk also in Bereishis. It says again, Ki B'Tzalem Elokim Oso Sodom. Man was created in the image of Hashem. Comes Rav Chaim and says, first of all, that posik, he says, is a mouthful. He says, because this posik, Vayivro Elokim Yesodom B'Tzalmoi, the idea of B'Tzalem Elokim Baroisoi, listen what Rav Chaim says, Hine Oimik Pnimiyos Inyan HaTzelem. If we were to try to fathom the depth of this idea, what Tzalem Elokim means to its fullest depth, you realize who medvarim ho oimdim berumay shalaylom. Reb Chaim says it's one of the loftiest concepts imaginable. Tzalem Elokim, he says, is dvarim ho oimdim berumay shalaylom. It's one of the loftiest concepts imaginable. Not only that, vehu koylel roiv sisrei penimius hazoya. Also, it takes in most of the profound mysteries which is discussed in the Zoya. Most of the profound mysteries in the Zohar, he says, is taken in by the idea of Tzalem Elokim. Tzalem Elokim represents most of the Sisrei HaTorah, says in the Zohar. Says Reb Chaim, however, we are not going to go that route. We're going to look at it in its simplest form of understanding. Omnom Kan. However, here, says Reb Chaim, Nedaber b'milas Tzalem b'derech ha'pashtonim harishonim zal. We will look at this phrase, at this expression that man was created at Tzalem Elokim, to understand it in the simple way that the Rishonim, the earlier authorities, how they explained it. It's interesting. When you talk about Rishonim, these are Pashtonim. They make things simple. Achronim make things more complicated. It's the Rishonim that are Pashtonim. Rishonim are the simple pshat, the basic pshat, the simple understanding, the basic understanding. And Reb Chaim says that we will explain it away the Pashtonim Rishonim al Posik Nasa Odom Betzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. On the Posik, when Hashem says, let us make man with our image, after our likeness. Says Reb Chaim, you know what it entails. On a simple level to understand, man is created in the image of Hashem. You know what it means on a simple level. The who? In other words, the Mefarshim say this, the Pashtonim Rishonim. The Pashtonim Rishonim say, the who? The truth is, it cannot be taken literally. Why? Because of Mefurish, there is a Mefurish posik. There is an explicit posik in Yeshaya. The posik says, Umad demus te'archuloi. Yeshaya Novi says, what likeness can you attribute to him? As it says in Tilim, as we'll soon see. In other words, clearly Hashem has no physical likeness. Clearly Hashem has no physical image. So you cannot interpret under any circumstance when it says, Ki b'tzelem elokim bara eisa, the man was created in the image of Hashem, it's referring to any physical attributes. The Novi himself, Yeshaya, says, Ma demus te'archuloi. What kind of likeness can you attribute to Hashem? So what does image of Hashem mean? So what does b'tzelem elokim mean? Ela perushai, it merely means, Dimyoin ma ve'eze dover. It basically means, it's a semblance of certain aspects of Hashem. Man has certain similarities of Hashem. But we're not talking about anything physical over here. In other words, therefore, what Reb Chaim is saying, even just right now, that one can never make a mistake, chas v'shalom. And one should never make a mistake to think that in the same way that man has various features, he has two eyes and he has a nose and so on and so forth, that these physical features that man has, that this is also the tzura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malo, even somewhat, in physical features, even somewhat, that his physical features resemble Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no shum demus guf at all. There's no physical features of any type of a guf at all. When we say man is created with Tzelem Elokim, it means, as we will see, that man has a certain resemblance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the ways that can be understood, as we'll soon explain, is it's referring to the activities of man. Man was endowed with abilities to be able to conduct his life in accordance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhogim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his ways, as we have the Yud Gimel Midrash Shel Rachmim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Chanun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives favor, he bestows favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachman, and so on, all the various 13 attributes of Rachmim. So man also was given the ability to be able, he was endowed with the power, able to follow in the activity and the pe'ulas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the pe'ulas of man down here should be able to resemble the pe'ulas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malo. That means that man has a dimyon ma. He has some sort of a semblance of a dimyon, a semblance of a comparison. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the yecholas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to be able to do acts which resemble the acts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he goes on to explain. Says Reb Chaim further. I'll just bring you a raya, says Reb Chaim further. Furthermore, then when we talk about Tzelem u'Dmus, we talk about the likeness of Hashem. When we say that man has the likeness of Hashem, it cannot mean, and it does not mean, that man's physical being is in the likeness of Hashem. That Hashem has the same physical attributes, even though it says demus, because take a look at Pasuk in Tehillim, for example. Kamay. Where else do we find the word demus? We find the word demus in Tehillim, capital Kufbeis. Lord HaMelech says, and he talks about his trials and tribulations and his sorrows and his redifus. Lord HaMelech talks about a particular period of his life, and he says the following. Domisi, he says, lekos midbar. Lord HaMelech says, I am like a desert owl. Kos is an owl. The Melech says, I'm like a desert owl. Now, if you stop right here, imagine if someone would find an old scroll, similar to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and some archaeologist attributes it, you know, that Xaviad, this is David HaMelech's handwriting. And David HaMelech wrote this capital in Tehillim, and this phrase, and he says, David HaMelech says, Domisi, Lekos Midbar, David HaMelech says, that I am like a desert owl. So some will come to the conclusion that David HaMelech, at the end of his life, he turned into a bird. He says, Domisi lekos midbar. That's what I am. I mean, he says, Beferish. David HaMelech is not going to lie. He says, Domisi lekos midbar. So does that mean what? That when Adonai was alive, Dovra Melech grew some feathers, and his mouth turned into a beak, and all of that, he developed all of the attributes of Adonai. So what does Dovra Melech mean when he said, Domisi, I have the likeness, I am compared to. When Dovra Melech says, Reb Chaim, when he said, Domisi l'ka'os midbar, it does not mean, far be it from understanding that Dovra Melech, towards the end of his life, or during his period, that period of his life, that he developed, and he grows wings, and he grows a beak, and he turns into an owl. Even not turn into an owl. Rak shenidme oz b'mikre pe'uloysov. But he was daimed to the pe'ulas of an owl. What is some of the characteristics of an owl? Some of the characteristics of an owl is that an owl is navanav. Does not have a mokim kivua. An owl is navanav and it runs from place to place. It's unstable. His condition is unstable. Dovra Melech Nebuch was talking about describing the unstableness. He was describing it as the type of a life. He has no life, he says, of tranquility. And in the same way that the owl is, moves on from mokim to mokim, from place to place, he also is leading a precarious life, an unstable life. Kemo yakos midbar. We're talking about the desert owl. Jehutzipur boidei. The characteristic of the koos midbar is it's a tzipur boidei, which means it's a lonely owl. It flutters in the wilderness. It flutters and flies from one mokim to the other. That is what Dovra Melech meant when he said, Domisi l'ka'os midbar. Then doime to an owl. Says Rav Chaim Elozer, in the same way, when it says, B'tzelem ulikim, it says, B'tzalmenu kid Musenu. Musenu doesn't mean physical. In the same way that Dovra Melech did not mean he became a physical bird, Domisi, it means B'tzadma. In a certain way, he was doime to the owl, in a particular inyan, in a particular situation. So to hear, similarly, says the word tzelem, image. So to according to the Pashtonim Rishonim, to the simple pshat of the Rishonim, it cannot be taken literally either. He says, V'chein Depri says, Al derech zehu inyan milas tzelem, kehem adoimim b'mashmo'on b'tzadma. The terms tzelem and demus are synonymous. In other words, just tzelem doesn't mean mamish, and demus also doesn't mean mamish. It means they are doimim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man is doimim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzadma in a certain aspect. Interesting thing, that which Rav Chaim Elozer here, and of course, no doubt he knew it, because he says here, B'derech HaPashtonim HaRishonim, he says that Tzelem Udmus does not actually mean physical features, mamish. What likeness means similarity in certain aspects. Man is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in certain aspects, which at this point he didn't exactly explain in which aspects, but as is pointed out, in a number of Meforashim, as we'll soon play, we're talking about, let's say, in the characteristics of man. Man was given the characteristics to follow, to do similar pu'ulas that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachum, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Chanun. So do man that is given the ability to follow and to do the same things. This idea, by the way, that Tzelem Udmus does not mean in any way physical. It only means man is doim b'tzad ma. There's a semblance of a likeness. By the way, it's Meforashim around that Moir in the Baruchim. Rama the Moir in the Vershim Perik Aleph, he writes, Aval Demus, I quote, you don't have it here, he writes, Aval Demus, Hushem min Domo, Vuhugam Dimui Be'inyin. And he brings Mamish back to this Raya, that Reb Chaim, Ki Omru Domisi Lekoos Midbar. So Ramelech says, that what? That I am Daime. So Ramelech says, I am similar, like a desert owl. Ein Hadobor Shuhu Domo Leksnofeo Benetrisot. Does it mean that Dovra Melech said that he's similar by having wings and having and all the other attributes of a physical owl? Ela, he says, Doma Evloi Le'evlo. His sadness. This is the particular aspect that the Rambam points out. The comparison that Dovra Melech might have meant when he said, I'm like the owl. The idea is that my state of mind is in a way like the state of mind of the owl. And as Reb Chaim says, the unstableness and so on, that the owl who moves along, Memokim Lamokim, it's a tzipur boidei, it's an isolated bird, isolated from society. It's a tzipur midbar, it's a koos midbar. So Dovra Melech felt himself at that point of his life being isolated, being unstable, having to move from place to place and from mokim to mokim. That's the lotion, that's what we talk about when we speak about Tzelem Elokim. Now, it's important to point out, so when we say the kisses of Reb Chaim is saying, so far, that B'Tzelem Elokim, B'Tzmus Elokim, B'Tzalmenu Kid Musenu does not actually mean a physical likeness, that Kodesh Baruch Hu resembles man in his physical stature, but rather it's referring to Tzadma, that man has was endowed with some sort of a semblance of a likeness. Now, when you talk about Tzelem Elokim, that man is has a semblance, has a likeness, Tzadma, in a certain aspect, man is doing the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This can be interpreted in two ways. That is, one is the Tzelem Elokim's definition of the Ramchal in Das Tfunois, Rabbi Isai, or it could mean the Tzelem Elokim's definition of the Tzelem Elokim. There are two aspects, two views in terms of how to look at Tzelem Elokim. Again, not being, as we said, clearly not being the physical attributes. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not resemble, man does not resemble Kodesh Baruch Hu in his physical construction, but Tzelem Elokim means that man has his likeness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a certain aspect. So we have two trains of thought. One thought is, which again, which we pointed out, which this really is the Das Tfunois, which that is the Ramchal. Ramchal points out, very interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, when we say B'Tzelem Elokim, there's the following purpose. Hashem wants man to have a certain perception of what Hashem is about. Man, about it, is not capable to fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence in its entirety, that's a triumph. But according to the ability of man, to how much man's intellect allows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted man, l'fi his yecholus, according to the extent of his ability, to be able to have a perception of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can I give you a moshul of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is like? How can I give you a moshul? If someone, let us say, never drank any wine in his life, there's no way that you can explain to him what wine tastes like. There's no way. Maybe, if you find something else that's very similar to wine, another beverage, then you can say, wine tastes like this other beverage. But there's no way in words to someone who never has an idea. Doesn't know what wine is all about. Never tasted it. You cannot explain it. If you try to explain to a person what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is all about, how do you explain it? So Kodesh Baruch Hu created man. Man looking at himself, as we'll explain, man becomes the marshal. He becomes the marshal of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is all about. Behind it. For example, it says in Pirkei Avos, well, of course, these are physical attributes just in order to which we should be able to understand, because Baruch doesn't use it physically. It says, Ayin Roye Voizni Shemas. It says, be careful what you do. Right? Pirkei Avos exhorts us and warns us, be careful what you do. There's an eye that sees, meaning the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's an ear that hears whatever you say. And we say, Ayin Roye. Kodesh Baruch Hu sees with an eye. Of course, it doesn't mean he sees with an eye. It's because Baruch Hu sees. Does not have to see with an eye. We should understand it. It says, Ayin Roye. The Sabir is Oizni. Oizni Shemas. There's an ear in Shemayim that hears. Shabbat doesn't have a physical ear. But Rabbi Isaac, if we want to understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu sees, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us an eye. By having an eye, we know what seeing means. Now we can understand how Kodesh Baruch Hu sees. Try to explain to a person that's born blind. He has no idea what seeing means. Doesn't know what it means. It's not the idea. Try to explain to a person that's born blind that Kodesh Baruch Hu sees everything. He can't understand it. He'll hear some words. He'll hear trying to explain something, but he has no real notion of what it's all about. Someone who was born blind, you can't explain to them that Kodesh Baruch Hu sees everything. He doesn't know what seeing means. He does not know what seeing means. He cannot imagine what seeing means. However, someone who even had sight, even for a short while, he had the experience of seeing. If you have the experience of seeing even a short while, even if one becomes blind later on, you can already explain things that deal with seeing, that deal with vision. Because it's a concept that's something he can grasp. It's a concept that he already contains. It's something that he has. If we want to explain to you how Kodesh Baruch Hu sees, not like man, Kodesh Baruch Hu sees from one end of the world to the other, how can we understand the whole idea of Kodesh Baruch Hu sees what's happening one or the other? So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you an eye. By giving you an eye, now you can understand what a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees, what it means what a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees. He sees much more powerful than we do. Just multiplied by a few million, or to the millionth power, and so on and so forth. How about that dose? If you want to say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu hears everything you say, everything is recorded. Every word you say is taken into account. Whether you said the right thing, whether you said the wrong thing. Whether you spoke the truth, whether you spoke ill. Whether you spoke falsely. when he spoke something which is, well, you were generous to someone. How are you using the word? Did you hurt someone? Were they hurtful? Were they spiteful? It's heard in Shemayim. A person who never heard in his life doesn't understand what it means. He did, never heard. Doesn't understand what oizen means. Because Baruch Hu gave you an ear. After Baruch Hu gave you an ear, now you can imagine how Kodesh Baruch Hu hears. Of course, he hears all the more stronger. More stronger. More powerful. To a greater extent. So the Ramchal says that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us these physical features, that this should be sort of like a mere image, mere to give us an understanding of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is all about. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's Yad Yamin and there's Yad Samoil. Yad Yamin in Kabul, of course, means the Yad of Chesed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Chesed, generosity and so on and so forth, he uses Yad Yamin. That's symbolic of using the right hand. When we say Yad Samoil, the left hand, that's Gevura. That's Din, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu inflicts punishment and so on and so forth. That's symbolic of the left hand. If we wouldn't have a right or a left hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create it, by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create the person the shape of a football. I mean, why not? You wouldn't have had a right hand, rather than that. You would have been rolling around instead of walking around. No? Kodesh Baruch Hu would create you in these two ways. Because now you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Yamin HaShem Nidori Bakoyach. Now you know there's such a thing as Yamin. From your own right hand, you have an idea. Now you have an idea to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu now in a different way. That's what it means, B'Tselem Elokim Boris Odom. To understand the koyches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand the koyches, you have to look into yourself. By looking at the way that you were created, so now that you can understand a little bit the kliyos that the Baruch Hu possesses, you have to multiply it many, many more times over. But now you have an asogi, now you have a perception. That's how he explains in Das Tfunis. In Das Tfunis, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poil, he says, L'pi erech nivrov kach nimtzo chalokim b'dmus ha'odom hazeh. Derech Moshul. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Mashgiach. Hashgoch. What does Hashgoch mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu observes what's going on in the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach. The eye of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Einei Hashem el Yireyoch. Eretz Yisrael is the land that Einei Hashem el Yireyoch Mereshis Hashono Merach Rishono. Einei Hashem el Yireyoch. What do these things mean? What do these terms mean? Hashem is Mashgiach. Hashem observes. Hashem is on top of things. His eye is everywhere. We have to have an eye first. We have an eye. We're able to understand when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach. And so on and so forth. When we say also, the Loshon as it says, by Sadoim, Eir Dono Ve'ere. These are Loshon, physical Loshon that we should understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when he hears all the tzoras that's going on in the world, but also, I'm going to come down and see. Eir Dono Ve'ere. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara learns out something from that pasuk. From the fact that it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to see, you know what you learn out? The lamedcha she'enoy ledayin elama she'enob royis. A dayin is supposed to paskin from the way his eyes see. From the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down to see, comes down to look, a dayin should try to see things as clearly as he can, and he paskins according to how he sees. So we see that from our oifim, from the evarim, from the limbs that Kodesh Baruch Hu endowed, dam alamam lamalam imko, ayin roye oiz shemat. So it comes out in a nutshell, man is a map of above. That's the way the Ramchal looks at it, and that's the one it is. It means man is the map of above. To be able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have these physical attributes, and now we can understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. We have an associate. That is one way, B'tzal Malakim, according to the Ramchal's understanding, and that's the one it is. B'tzal Malakim, we should understand the koiches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we understand the koiches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Understand the koiches of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through ourselves, through our Evarim, and so on and so forth. The second understanding of the Tzelem Elokim is the Tzelem Elokim of the Toimer Devarim. And that's something that we mentioned just a few minutes ago, actually, when we started learning this shtickle of Nefesh HaChayim. That refers to the Pe'ulis, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only wants us to understand his koiches, because Baruch Hu wants you to emulate, because Baruch Hu wants you to do the things that he does, because Baruch Hu wants you to behave in a particular way. How does he want you to behave? Because Baruch Hu wants you to behave in the way that Kodesh Baruch Hu behaves. All of those various pe'ulas that Kodesh Baruch Hu does and conducts the world through the 13 midos shel rachamim, which that is the whole basis of the Sefer Torah Mitzvah, that we emulate Hashem v'halachta b'drachim, we went through it already. That we have a key to emulate and to be noyik and to do the pe'ulas that Hashem does. That's what it means, b'tzelem elokim bara oisoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu endowed man with the ability to have these emotions to be able to do it. Give you a mashal. We have to be endowed with certain abilities to emulate Hashem, or else you couldn't even attempt to emulate Hashem. I guess we can understand it in simple terms. You can find, you sit at a meeting. You sit at a meeting. Or you might be in a shul. And here, there is someone, a tremendous Baal Yecholus, a wealthy man, a very wealthy man. And let us use an astronomical figure. You hear that a person donated $1 million to tzedakah. It's a tremendous amount. You can find two different reactions of people. A person who is also about tzedakah, but he can't afford that much. He can afford maybe to give $500, maybe he can afford to give $1,000. And he hears someone give a donation of $1 million. His reaction will be, what a tremendous chesed. When he hears someone donate $1 million, he'll say, halavai, I should have the ability, I should have that kind of money. This will be his reaction. He sees so positive this tremendous act, the magnanimous act that this other person did. A person who's a miser, who doesn't know what chesed means, and he hears that someone gives away $1 million to the doctor, he says, what a kiddush, what a shoydi. You know what I would have done with $1 million? You know what you do with $1 million? He gave that away for the doctor. How can I sell it? Then not the asogim to appreciate it. Unless you yourself possess a smidgen of chesed in your life, unless you yourself at least have a shayfet to chesed, you can appreciate great chesed that someone else does. If you yourself have no shayfet with chesed, you yourself have no shayfet with tzedakah, when you see somebody else doing it, you don't see that as something positive, you see it as a nourishment. How are we to emulate Hashem in all of these tremendous characteristics if we ourselves are not endowed with it? If we have no idea what chesed is all about, how are we going to follow it? How are we going to have the motivation to want to do it? To give us the ability to do it, Hashem created us B'Tzelem Elokim. Creating a B'Tzelem Elokim means He gave us the ability. It be ingrained within ourselves. We should have Midas HaChesed. And therefore we have the ability to follow the Drachim of Hashem. What's in the areas of Rachmonis, what's in the areas of bestowing favor, Rachum, Chanun, and so on, all of the other things. Bahu Malvish Arumim, Mafato, you also to be a Malvish Arumim, give clothes to people, so on and so forth. All the various different acts of the Gemara gives examples of how Kodesh Baruch Hu conducts himself. So this Rabbi Isai, so this is the Nekudah that we learn out. This is the Nekudah that we learn out in terms of how we interpret the idea, how we interpret the notion of Tzelem Elokim. Go a little bit further, Rabbi, let's go to Perek Beis, so we can move on a little bit. Go to Ramachal. Go to Ramachal, and Ramachal goes further. Omnami says, Lehovin. Ramachal says that in order that we are able to understand, says Ramachal, Omnam Lehovin, that in order that we are able to understand, Inyan Omroi B'Tzelem Elokim Daike B'Loi Shemacha. Ramchal Rabbeisai raises the question, why is it that Elokim is only one of the names that Hashem goes by? There are many other names. You know, we have the seven names, She'enam Nimchokim. You know, there are quite a number of Shemois that you're not allowed to erase because they all represent Hashem's name. Right? What about Tzavokos? What about Shakai? Kale! Why Elokim? Why B'Tzelem Elokim? Why not use an expression B'Tzelem Kale? Man was created B'Tzelem Kale. Man was created B'Tzelem Tzvokos, B'Tzelem Shakai, so on and so forth. Why did the Torah choose, if we want to say that man was created in a certain image, in the image of Hashem, why this name of Hashem? Why this title, the title of Elokim? So it goes on, the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, Ki Shem Elokim Yidu Epe Rushoi. Because we know what the Shem Elokim means. Shem Elokim means, Shehu Meire, Shehu Yizborach, Shemoi, Baal HaKoiches Kulam. What Shem Elokim means, the meaning of Shem Elokim is, Shem Elokim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaYecholus. It means that He is the All-Powerful. As we know, this is in fact the Kavonik, Mashimavur, B'Tur Arachayim Simen Hei. In Tur Arachayim Simen Hei, it says, what is the Yid supposed to be Mechadon? Every day we daven, right? Three tefillos at least. So we say sometimes Elokim, and sometimes we say Hashem, Yudke Bovke. When you say the Shem Yud Kevav, Baruch Atu Hashem Yud Kevav, we don't pronounce it that way, but the Shem Yud Kevav, so Shulchan Aruch says, you have to be Mechadon, Hoye Hoye V'Yir. Hashem was, past, present, and future. That's Yud Kevav, Hoye Hoye V'Yir. When you pronounce the Shem Elokim, Elokim means, Takif Ubal Yecholus Kulam. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the All-Powerful. So, the Shem Elokim means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the All-Powerful.
The Inyan Mat. Now, what does it mean? Now, in context, if we want to focus and zero in, you know, it's too generic. Hashem is the all-powerful. In which area? In which area is this really significant? In which area is this really significant? Or maybe, in which is it most significant? When we say Hashem is the all-powerful, says Nefesh HaChayim, the Inyan Mashu Yizbar Nikra Bala Yechodes Kulam, the Inyan that Hashem is considered to be the all-powerful, he says, is Kiloi Kemidas, which is Bala Koyches, is the Bala Koyches, Kiloi Kemidas Bosa Bedom Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, is not the same. Mortal man, the norms of a mortal man is not the same as the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Namely, Ki Odom Kishavoyin Binyan Derech Moshe Meis. When a person, when he builds a binyan, let us say he builds a wooden house, Ein HaBoyin, first of all, the builder, the constructor, not Boyre Umamtsi Oz Mekoycha Weis. He did not create the wood. Who created the wood? Hashem created the wood. Nature created the wood. Builder takes existing wood. He just fashions it. He cuts it, he shapes it in a tzura to make a house. But the builder didn't create the wood. He didn't create the material. So the boine, the builder who builds, ein ha-boine, boire u-mamse, mikoichoi, he says, wait. He's not the one that creates. He does not bring out the wood. But rather, rak, she says, shulikar, eitzim shikvar nivru. What he does is, basically, he buys ready-made wood. Misadr on the binyan. And what does he do? And he goes ahead and he's misadr that the binyan. He goes and he makes beams and he uses it to put up the house and so on and so forth. The achaka shekvas sodron. And after when he was misadr, in other words, once the logs, the house, everything is set in place, but he ritzoinoi according to the way that he wants it, after the house is finished, you know what happens? Im shikoichoi husa vinistalik mehem. Even though, basically, he moves away. He moves away from the site. His hands are no longer there. The binyan doesn't fall apart. The binyan can stand. The binyan can stand for a few hundred years. All he had to do was build the building. Once he builds the building stands there on his own. That is when a mortal builds something. A, he does not create the wood, does not create the material. Second of all, once he finished building, he just go do something else, build a new house. The old house is fine. It's just standing there and continues to stay there. However, he points out, but when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aval Hu Yizbarach Shemoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kemoi Be'eis Briyos Ho'olam Ois Kulam. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Boron V'Himtzion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically, he created a Yesh Mi'ayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not given any materials. He created something out of nothing. He created Yesh Mi'ayim, he created the materials Yesh Mi'ayim. He made something out of nothing. The Koychoi Habilti Tachlis, with his infinite power. Kodesh Baruch Hu created all of the materials out of nothing with his infinite power. Kein Ma'od. Oh. Says Reb Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never stopped creating the world. Many of us think HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and now the world stands because he created it. In the same way that a builder builds a house, once it's built, the builder stands. The builder can die, doesn't have to be alive anymore. No one has to be standing there. Do anything. The building stands. You think Hashem created the world, and the world now stands by itself. It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps recreating the world every moment. You can't see it, because it happens instantaneously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped for one moment, infusing the world with life, it would cease to exist. The Kiyam O'Olam, to quote the Lashon of the Beis Halevi, the reason the world stands today is not because it was created yesterday. The reason the world stands today is because it's created today. Now! Not this morning. This morning it stands, stood because of this morning. Stands now because of now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'chol yoyim, b'chol rega mamish. Not just every day, he keeps creating the world. Every moment. Every moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be creating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be creating the universe, as he says, "Kol koyach mitziyusom v'sidrom v'kiyumom," the whole mitzius of the world, the seder of the world, the kiyum, the vitality of the world, the existence of the world, totally depends rak v'mashe hu yizborach shemoi mashpia v'hem v'rtsoino yizborach kol rega. It's the fact it exists by virtue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continually He bestows an abundant flow of new life, as he says. Koyach v'ashpoas or chodesh.
Kodesh Baruch Hu continuously, non-stop, should there be a stop in the flow of life into this world for one moment, the world ceases to exist. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's continuous keeping this world alive.
The ilu ha-yehu yizbarach mesalak mehem koyach ha-shposoy.
Kodesh Baruch Hu for one moment would remove his koyach ha-shpoy,
afreg achas. And this was to stop, would cease, even for an instant, the entire universe would revert to nothingness.
Because what would stop creating? Would stop infusing the world with life? Stop infusing the world, injecting the world with life? The whole world would come to a stop, to a standstill.
Nothing.
Not to a standstill. Disappear. Nothingness. Just like when it started, it was nothing. Because God created the world, yesh me'ayin, there was nothing there. He created something out of nothing. It was total nothingness. Nothing. It would return to nothing, to that same nothing. The world would revert to that same nothing. The reason the world continues to exist every moment, because what we continuously is creating. Like we find in the davening, that the Anshe Knesset Adoylem, that they instituted. You know that the Anshe Knesset Adoylem, these were a group of 120 Chachomim. 120 Chachomim, basically, who led the Klal Yisrael at the beginning of the second Bais, the second Bais HaMikdash, and they composed the text of the Tfilos. The Anshe Knesset Adoylem, they composed the text of the Tfilos. And what did they, and how did they write it, the way we say it? Hamechadesh v'tuvoy v'chol yoyim tomid maser bereshis. Clearly, we are saying in His goodness, Kodesh Baruch Hu, He renews daily. Hamechadesh v'tuvoy. Not continues, renews. It's new, it's fresh. Every moment is a fresh bria. Hamechadesh v'tuvoy, He renews it perpetually. He renews it v'chol yoyim tomid maser bereshis, the work of creation. Which means, he says, Hainu, Tomid Mamish. Don't think there's some sort of like a marshal or something. No, Tomid Mamish, Mamish. This is the way, exactly the way it is. It's in the, to be taken in the literal sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadish V'tuvah B'chol Yom Tomid Mamish, he says. B'chol Eise B'chol Rega. The Rayosu Mephoreshes, he says, and the Raya also we can find, as it says in Tehillim. In Tehillim it says, Le'oisei Oyrim G'doylam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Le'oisei, who makes great lights. You notice it says present tense. Shloyama doesn't say also, it doesn't say she also oyrim gedolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made great lights. He made the great lights, the Shemesh, the Levona. But it says le'oyse oyrim gedolim elo oyse, which clearly means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously creates. So again, so the Inyan when it says b'tzelem alekim, so first of all of this in this paragraph, and we're going to stop over here. Is merely to donate what Elohim means. Elohim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. What does it mean is all-powerful? All-powerful means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously, perpetually, non-stop, from the very first day of creation, continues to revitalize this world. Continues to recreate this world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops his input for 1 second, the world reverts to nothingness. This is Elohim. Man, Rabbi Yisrael, was created, the Tzelem Elohim. You figure out what the greatness of man is. We'll see that mentioned next week. Rabbi Isai, the sheets, if you can put them back on the table, Rabbi Isai, because we're going to throw it to it next week again. So